Money is power, the power to control the money is one that is now in the hands of those who pretend we can't function without them. So how can we do something? Working hard to get a raise, lifting that wage up. Inflation, take it like a hidden tax station. You need an interest rate to get the bank way to create money with the loans that they're giving out. That means our money is dead, and we gotta pay back more than 100%. No wonder damn why the middle class is going under when the ones above them gotta cover income to collect. And many have no access to banking, making payments or saving, so more fees are taken. And every day the gatekeepers are trying to stop change. We cannot wait. Welcome to the blockchain.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Henry Rain Show here on WWPR 1490 AM. Heard every Saturday, 12:05 p.m. till about 1 o'clock, or maybe a little later if we decide to go later. And following in the footsteps of the last few weeks, I have asked familiar voice back, and that, of course, is Augie. Good afternoon, Augie.
Good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon, Henry.
All right. Returning from a couple weeks ago is Leonard Lobin. He is the chief technical officer of Byte Federal. That is the company that's placing Bitcoin ATMs all around Tampa Bay, Florida, and beyond. Good afternoon, Leonard.
Good to be back. Thanks.
And returning from last week is Alex Solis. He has been an active participant on the Byte Federal Bitcoin ATMs, and as well as a successful but new investor in cryptocurrencies. And he came on last week to tell us about his experience. He's back to tell us more. Hi, Alex.
How you doing, everybody?
Good. And so, just as for those people that haven't listened in the last few weeks, or maybe have just sampled it a little bit, for the last few weeks we've been exploring cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin, Dash, Ethereum, Litecoin. There's thousands of them. Augie has initially heard about it about 5 years ago, but I've dragged you back to the future, and you're diving in on this, too. What are your thoughts in the past few weeks?
Well, the volatility is scary, I'm sure, and I think Alex is probably experiencing it as much as anyone and was warned last week to dump it, frankly, by me.
I didn't do it.
Well, he
should have, would have, could have, right?
Well, he maybe shouldn't have, couldn't have, better not have listened to Augie.
The problem you have, guys, is that encryption is not safe. It never has been. An Enigma, the German machine of World War II that nobody could beat, but it was beaten, is no different in this regard. And I think that's where Leonard will come in and say, oh, yeah, we can keep, this is safe.
Well, now I have a hard time, you know, because of our mistakes with the Enigma. Anything I say will be doubted, I guess.
The mistakes of Europe, you know, but the Germans are making up for it. They're financially taking over, I think.
Well, the encryption technology nowadays, of course, you know, is kind of light years advanced. And one thing that might be a problem is quantum computing for the current encryption systems.
I think the Chinese have that.
Well, everybody's experimenting with it, and so we're still good at this point.
Well, let me take this over to Alex, because he is the one that their comments were directed. So what were your, first of all, there was a huge drop in the price of Bitcoin and the other cryptocurrencies. It's now back at a record or approaching a record. What were your thoughts when you saw that money, though, drop? Well, you lost about a third of your money on paper, right?
Oh, I lost two-thirds. If I would have sold, I would have lost two-thirds for sure. But I didn't. I looked at it as buying season for me. Everything was on sale. I know everybody panicked, sold, lost all their money. But me, it was Christmas for me.
I'm going to ask a question here, Henry, if you don't mind. when you have this kind of volatility, how do you feel the spike? Why would you think the spike is going to spike right back up in such a short time?
You can like the market, the graphs, and all that. You can pretty much predict it, but it, you know, predictions is just
really?
Predictions.
You can predict.
Well, I'm going to contradict Alex right now on that, because I'm not an expert at stock trading, but I have studied charts for a while, and I've had people who are experts try and inform me about charts. And the swings in the currency prices, the digital currency prices, will wipe out what would be a normal support or multiple levels of support if you were looking at a stock chart. The other thing, that you have no true level of support because the rise in the price over the last 6 months is almost parabolic.
Yeah, so there's one interesting aspect of this. There's a great video on YouTube, Don't Buy Bitcoin Because It Crashes, which is really funny. It goes back, you know, when Bitcoin was like a couple of cents, and then it went up to $3 and crashed back to $2. It went up to $13, crashed back to $10. It went up to $20, and it goes on and on, right? Every time, it, of course, you have these momentous swings.
But if you take that, if you talk about charting and looking at that, as Alex says, and you look at other commodities or stocks or anything, there are things that crash and never come back, and many of those things are things that have climbed parabolically, or they return to a level where they were before they went parabolic. And so there is a conservative caution, or I guess all caution would be conservative, probably.
Maybe cautionary.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, but
to protect your money.
Alex and me have seen it so many times, probably at this point. And I remember that in the beginning, I had a friend who predicted that Bitcoin would go to $1,000 when it was like $3, and I was laughing at him, right? And an interesting thing is that you see so many of these crashes and then a recovery, and you start wondering, how does this work? Like, what is money really? What does money mean? If everybody buys into one capped and limited amount of stock, of an asset, right, can it actually go down? Yes, if everybody loses faith, it probably would, right?
Well, one of the things we're going to try and do here as the weeks go by, if we continue on this path, is keep up to date with the news of the week, and let's do that right now. Was spurred by a massive uptick in the price of Bitcoin. The total value of all cryptocurrencies passed $90 billion yesterday. That would have been a report from July 21st. So I believe we're talking about Thursday. A high not observed since early July. With the move, the market capitalization of the asset class is again advancing towards $100 billion, a figure it first exceeded in June when it reached an all-time high of $115 billion. At press time, as I said, July 21st, the market is valued at just over $94 billion. It still remains to be seen how much capital would be given in the rapid escalation. The Bitcoin increased from just under 2,500 to a high of 2,889 on Thursday. What's the forecast?
Well, I think the long-term forecast is substantially higher, I would say, and that's as you're taking it very conservatively, especially I think what we saw over the last couple of weeks was a lot of capital was pulled out because of the potential problems coming up. And
what were those, Leonard?
There was a problem that perhaps the blockchain would split into several.
Now, would you define blockchain?
Blockchain is like a ledger, a distributed ledger that everybody shares and works together with.
Everybody can look at that
can look at that ledger. Yeah, of course, it can split into two separate entities if you want to. And whatever holdings you have, they would be now in two places. But, you know, you wouldn't really lose money, except, of course, the valuation could be.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's look at the relative value here. Even if it goes to $150 billion, $200 billion market capitalization in the next year,
yeah.
That's really not much of anything.
No.
So to replace the current currency system, or even run parallel to it, we have to be talking about trillions of dollars. And also, in that rise to a new record for Bitcoin this week, surprisingly, after the plunge in the price, there were lots of new users that came in and set up accounts. I think by a factor of 300% or something.
Yeah, it seems to be turning into something like a reserve currency, a global reserve currency. I think
but you would need, I can't imagine, like 100, 200 times the number of users to really get
to
the level you're talking
about.
You only
need one big user, such as Saudi Arabia.
That's the point. You know, if you have a small country, let's say an island country, that whose economy has done really bad and they can't really manage their monetary system very well, if you have one little country just flip completely into a cryptocurrency, if you can imagine. Or if you
but
take
they already, but a reserve currency with Saudi as a backer with the trillions in gold and all the rest that they have that way, You can create a backing that makes a reserve currency a real thing.
Correct. I don't think we're going to see like just one thing happen. I think we see lots of little tiny stabs at the current system, which are in Bitcoin's favor. Over
the next story is going to speak to that. But one of the things when we talk about the size of the market in dollar capitalization or whatever currency you want to use, we had that Ethereum crash that was about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and that was on a $12 million sell order, I believe. If a $12 million sell order can take a price from 300 down to 10 cents, the infrastructure isn't even there to support this kind of growth.
No. The other thing that's going along with Henry's point here is that you're not selling bonds. You're not creating an investment base that's interchangeable internationally. And Swybrow is Saudi Arabia. They're sitting on trillions of dollars in value in oil and in gold and all other assets. They can create a base for you if they should decide to undermine the dollar or unite with China with the quantum thing that they have. If China says, Saudi Arabia, you stop treating women like this and we'll consider you as a human source of humanity, which you're really not, but we'll consider it. And maybe Islam is something worth following. But short of that, they're a danger. And that's where, so if they become your base, you get trapped into something like that.
Well, let me add on to the danger, because we're still talking about the size of the market capitalization in that last story. Because Bitcoin is a finite number of Bitcoins, it's like the old, what was it, Gould and Fisk back in the early U.S. that tried to corner the gold market, or the Hunt brothers that tried to cover the silver brothers in the 20th century. Yeah. I mean, there is enough money right now to run the Bitcoin price up out of the reach of the average investors and to corner the market. And once that finite quantity of Bitcoins has been in control, that all of a sudden you have a power that has leverage over something that's very powerful.
The difficulty with buying huge amounts of Bitcoin, of course, is you're driving the price up like crazy. And so anybody who's in it will benefit. The other thing, too, is there's a lot of cryptocurrencies. They're all competing. If you think about it, it is a little bit like the 19th century, where we went along with the Industrial Revolution. We had a lot of technological advances, and we had boom and bust cycles, crazy boom and bust cycles. But overall, human advancement moved forward. And so I think that these are not really problems for the cryptocurrency space.
Well, let's take us on to the next topic or article or headline, because it does speak to this. South Korea has officially legalized international Bitcoin transfers, and it's on the verge of providing a regulatory framework for Bitcoin trading platforms and exchanges. Either you're listening to Yogi, they're jumping right on the bandwagon. On July 3rd, Representative Park Jung-un of the ruling Democratic Party of Korea revealed that South Korean government is ready to regulate the Bitcoin market. According to Representative Park, he submitted three revisions to build a set of regulatory frameworks for Bitcoin users and businesses to further facilitate the growth of the South Korean Bitcoin market. And one of those, just to pull one arbitrarily out, but it is interesting because it speaks to the size of the market. The businesses and trading platforms have to retain a capital of at least $436,000. So some of your neighbors on Siesta Key, Augie, I think could meet the regulations for South Korea.
Not this neighbor. But, you know, it's a curious risk-taking, and oftentimes when you have these maverick situations, which is Bitcoin, it really qualifies to be a maverick, and it makes younger people really delighted that they can bust the system and go in a new direction, that there's maybe a new hope because they'll be in charge of it. It gets set up by other places. We're going to regulate and we're going to change the rules of the game. What do you do about that, Leonard?
But what other places? You mean other countries?
Anyone who decides that they're going to, like South Korea, they should say, these are the new rules, this is how it's going
to
be done.
Yeah, you have to understand how the Bitcoin mining operation works. It's if you want to buy Bitcoin from someone, right, you have to connect to an exchange, you have to start buying. any one player that starts buying heavily into Bitcoin just raises the price astronomically. And I think even for Wall Street, let's say, to come in and buy Bitcoin, you can't create them anywhere, right? So I think people
so you're saying the limitation is set by the mining, those
yes,
who mine.
Yes, I think the restriction very much like with gold.
Unlike gold, which is we say it's finite, but we're really not sure.
Of the finite quantity of Bitcoins that exist, what percentage do you think has been mined?
I think the number is out there. Is it
16 million?
Yeah.
Well, what percentage would that be of the total?
21. Now, when you say mine, what does that mean?
Well, we're going to get too technical here in a moment. We'll say that for later because we're still just trying to get some news. But you said that 16 million out of a pool 21. Of 20 million?
21.
So you're past the around 80%. Yeah, four-fifths.
Yeah.
I did the math before I spit out my mouth. So there's not a big supply that can come out of nowhere on that. We may come back to that, but I want to get to Alex and give him a chance because Augie spoke about you're the representative of young people here, Alex, about the idea of going up against the status quo. What do you think of that comment of Alex? Augie.
What I think is young people will use this as their new stock market.
Of course they will.
Like you guys had the 1940 stock market.
Yeah, you know they remember 1940.
So we have this boom.
I won't concede anything.
See, the market cap is at around 90 million right now. Once it goes to 200 million, guys like me are
billion.
Rich. 200 billion, sorry. Guys like me are already rich. It doesn't take much for young people to get rich off this. This is very enticing.
But to be rich, you have to take that coinage and trade it into something. Some other asset.
He's going to buy and hold.
Purchasing power of Bitcoin could increase.
But if you had that entity with unlimited resources that you're talking about raising the price astronomically, if you could sell that for that Bitcoin that you put $600 into for $10,000, what would that mean to your family and you? How can you resist cashing out at $10,000 or $20,000 or $30,000?
That's the scariest thing I face right now. I don't want to sell too early, and I don't want to sell too late.
But you're going to have to decide to sell if you're going to say this coin is equal to this amount of dollars or this amount of whatever currency you want to match it, or say the Mexicans decide to get into this thing.
If Alex holds long enough, he can buy his Lambo with Bitcoin directly.
But the point is, he's one person with one Bitcoin. There is enough money at the size of the market. At 100 billion or 200 billion or 1 trillion, it is still small enough for a cartel to get control of a global currency and the assets. Let's move on because we are going to hit this again in some of the other topics here. The short stories here are
get that definition of what is mining.
Swiss Bank Falcon Private Bank has received authorization from the Swiss Financial Supervisory Authority, FINMA, for the management of assets based on the blockchain technology supporting Bitcoin, CNBC reports. The Zurich-based private bank manages around $15.1 billion worth of client assets and has offices across the Europe and the Middle East, tangentially hitting many of the things we were just talking about. And one of the things, interesting enough, based on reports, the private bank has already installed a Bitcoin ATM in the lobby of its headquarters in Zurich, enables clients to withdraw the cryptocurrency to their phones. The bank, however, has set a minimum client investment to Bitcoin at 2 million Swiss francs. This means that the majority of Swiss citizens will not be able to invest in cryptocurrency.
And one Swiss, what is a Swiss franc, is equal to 1 euro, basically. And basically, at the rate the Brits are going, the pound is going to fall to that same level. So
when you have these
currencies leveling up, which were way up here and they're down here now.
I'm curious as how, and let's plug this before we get any deeper into the show. We have Leonard Lopen. He's the chief technical officer of Byte Federal, who are putting the Byte Federal ATMs around multiple locations around Tampa Bay. If you're hearing this over the radio, there is one close enough to you that you can get involved in Bitcoin or Dash or probably other cryptocurrencies are going to be coming through the facilities. Currently in Bradenton, they're right down the street from the radio station at the Shell station, where Alex would be happy to greet you when you come in there and direct you to the Bitcoin ATM, where he got his start. And you can find out more at bytefederal.com. That's B-Y-T-E, federal.com. They also are on Clark Road down in Sarasota, somewhat near the interstate at the Marathon Station. They're in on Treasure Island. In what location?
That's a bar, CJ's.
It's a wonderful establishment, CJ's, that Leonard was talking about. And also another landmark in St. Petersburg, FERG's, near the Tropicana Stadium, the big sports bar there. They're available there. They're in Tampa.
FERG's Live.
Where?
FERG's Live, which is right next to the other stadium. What's it called?
McKechnie Field?
No, it's just at Channel Side.
Channel Side.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
So, prime locations for the movers and shakers
of
Tampa Bay.
By the way, if you have any private bank in your audience listening, if they need an ATM in their foyer, then they can just call us up.
Question.
And they would profit, too.
Well, definitely.
On the ATMs, what kind of volume of the ones you already have do they experience?
And you don't have to give up any proprietary information.
Obviously, yes. Yeah, so it's amazing, actually. Quite a lot of people come to the ATMs and from all strides of life. It's really interesting for us also.
And it's increasing,
experiment.
Too.
Yeah, it's fascinating. Especially
in a given day, it's gone from one level to another, which you would say.
Well, you're talking multiples.
Right. It's difficult because we started small with just one or two ATMs.
Say,
but you basically, at this point in time, you have probably between 10 to 50 transactions per day.
And one transaction could be $10,000. Mm-hmm. I've seen that.
I'm not concerned about, but the number is important. And each one going in costs so much, and each one coming out costs so much.
Covering all costs and then a profit margin.
All right. Well, keeping us on track, I tell you what, if you're coming in there and getting $10,000 of Bitcoin, you're probably going to have...
They're going to be rich.
Who came up with that?
Well, that is going to lead us into our next segment. That would be about the volatility that happened this week in the marketplace. And we have this courtesy Bloomberg to update us on that.
Talk us through it, because interestingly with Bitcoin, there's some real build-up towards the end of this week where there's a so-called soft fork. We could even see Bitcoin split in two. Remind us.
Yeah, so after just last month, Bitcoin had surged to an all-time high of around $3,000, and within the last couple of weeks, it's lost around a third of its market value, which is pretty wild. In the last couple of days, it fell below $2,000, and there's a lot of stuff that's been going on in the cryptocurrency world, but one of the hottest debates recently has been what people call the scaling debate. And so for the last couple of years, as Bitcoin has become more and more popular, its blockchain has experienced some congestion and slower transactions and higher transaction fees, and these two sort of main rival camps have emerged. And they both have their own ideas about how to deal with these issues. And so everyone in the cryptocurrency community is gearing up for August 1st, which is when we're sort of going to get an idea of who wins the battle here. So one that is proposed the software update, but if less than 80%, I think, of Bitcoin miners implement the update, then there's actually a chance that Bitcoin could split into two and that there might be two separate cryptocurrencies. So this has caused a lot of volatility in the market.
Oh. It's interesting that we have seen some sort of precedent for this before, because Ethereum, a rival cryptocurrency, did split into as well. We've got Ethereum Classic and Ethereum.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to us rather about the other cryptocurrencies, because it's not just Bitcoin that's seen a sell-off. We've seen Ripple, we've seen Ethereum, we've seen the many other cryptocurrencies down. Why?
Yeah, you know, I think investors tend to lump cryptocurrencies together is one thing. But yeah, the whole cryptocurrency market has lost a substantial portion of its market value. I think back in June when it peaked, the market value of the whole cryptocurrency market, which is made up of more than 800 different digital coins, was around $115 billion, and now it's around, you know, $70 billion. So, I mean, the scaling debate, which we just talked about, is definitely one thing. I think, you know, I've heard people say that maybe some of the interest and excitement around these initial coin offerings has also started to wear off. And then, of course, there are also just continuing concerns around security and safety.
All right. That was courtesy of Bloomberg News. That was from a few days ago. And, of course, since then, as we talked about earlier in the show, that that price has rebounded. And also, we'll talk about that more. I want to take a moment right now. If you missed the beginning of the show, you can listen to the show on demand in a number of ways. You can find it at the podcast site, podomatic.com. You just go to henryrainshow.podomatic.com. Prior shows from the last few weeks, if you want to get up to speed on what you've been missing, you can find there. Also at Facebook, you can go facebook.com/henryrainshow. You can find the old shows. Like 2 weeks ago is old. when you've been around since the 40s in the stock market, you know, 2 weeks doesn't seem so old. But you...
You know you're old when you've seen the Hoover.
Augie was not in the stock market in the 40s. I'm pretty sure about that. Unless he had a rich aunt or something that was bringing him in.
Close.
Anyway, so Facebook is one way to keep up to date with the show. Follow the show on Twitter at Henry Rain Show, and a lot of articles that I see during the week. It's a good way to catch up on those that I think of might be of interest. So, after all that self-promotion, we'll come back here to the topic that they were talking about, the upcoming. Now, I don't want to get to what the markets, the exchanges are going to do on August 1st yet. I'd like to get Leonard to explain some of these terms that were in the report. User-activated soft fork?
Okay. So basically, Bitcoin, after all, is software, right? It's a distributed public ledger that's running. And one of the things is if you do an upgrade on it, and now it's a whole network, some of the upgrades, they will cause a incompatibility with the software that was running before. And this is basically when people talk about a hard fork. It's a fork. It's an update in the system where everybody has to switch to the new system, the new upgrade. If they don't, you end up with two different versions, right? Windows 98 and basically Windows 2000, if you think about something like that. The discussion here was the danger, or the perceived danger, was what happens to the value of Bitcoin? Is it somehow affected by this upgrade? And we have seen many other coins, this was mentioned before, there's tons of other cryptocurrencies, and they went through the similar scenarios. And the most prominent one is Ethereum, split into two different versions. And interestingly enough, both of them recovered in value. Actually, after the split, of course, they went down, and then over time, actually, now if you held on to your Ethereum and both of those different versions of Ethereum, you actually had more than before. But I think a lot of money that came in from the beginning of this year, a lot of Wall Street money probably pulled out in the last couple of weeks. That's why the price declined. And as soon as Thursday, when the fork was evaded, it looked like no problem is going to be arising here August 1st, all of that money seemed to jump right back in, and we saw a crazy candle.
What was the thing that caused the outside money, the Wall Street, et cetera, to say, oh, it is resolved? What was the signal they were looking for?
They were looking for the miners are the ones that basically decide whether they want to do the upgrade or not. And
when you do an upgrade, that means they have to do what?
They have to download a new version of software and run it.
And let's also pause for a moment, too, because we talked about this over the last few weeks. Mm-hmm. If I were to walk into a Bitcoin mine, what would I see?
Well, probably nowadays you would be in a very cold part of the globe, somewhere in Iceland or in Mongolia, or maybe in Washington State. I have to put that on the same level.
Why would that be so?
Because the miners, the machines, they create an enormous amount of heat. And you don't want to pay for cooling. So the cooler it is in the climate, the less money you have to spend on actually running your machines.
Well, that's an established fact. Now, when that coin is created...
Well, wait. And once I get into this cold area,
yeah,
and I walk through the door, I'm going to walk through the door of a mine.
You see aisles and aisles of computers that are running. And all they do is verify transactions. Just as you would see...
That's transactional, but I'm talking about fabricated coins.
You'd never see
fabricated
it looks
coins. Like the Terminator, like the machines. They look like, it looks like the alien movie.
So for people that are following you in your tour here, all right, so there's just walls of, do they look like regular computers?
Not quite. They look like just the hard core of a desktop machine, if you will, just the basic main board and some cooling grills on it. But, yeah, you would be walking through aisles and aisles like Walmart, basically filled with
computers. Video screens.
Nothing. No video green. Video screens. Just lots of cables and power.
So the production line shows up in what way?
I would really compare it to a data center of a bank, because that's really what it is, essentially. If you think of banks nowadays, they pretend that there are these big buildings. In reality, they're just a data center somewhere, right? We think of bankers sitting there and shoveling paper around, but the real thing...
For the ignorant out there, I include myself in that, a physical coin.
Yeah.
Can you hold one?
No.
Oh, really?
No.
It's strictly data?
It's just data. And some people say our universe is just data.
We're calling it a coin. Well,
we're calling it a coin because of the similarities with gold. That's really where the idea comes from originally. You have a capped, limited amount of an asset that cannot be increased or not easily increased in Bitcoin's case.
Is a better noun for what we're talking about a blockchain?
Yeah, it's difficult because you want the individual item, right? The individual amount that you're holding.
You can hold gold, but you can't hold a Bitcoin.
You can hold Bitcoin indirectly, you know, in your Bitcoin wallet on a piece of paper. You can print it out. You can actually edge it in a piece of metal and put it in your safety deposit box, and then you would be holding a physical coin if you needed it.
Yeah, there are those Bitcoins that have the code in the.
Yeah.
So
you can, just like gold is when we put a one on a piece of gold, right? Say 1 bullion or something. In a similar way, you could put the Bitcoin numbers on a piece of gold. But here, of course, the metal itself would have some value, and the information stored.
30 grams of gold is basically 1 ounce. So
right.
You're going to have in a bullion cube, you're going to have a great deal more.
Yeah. Yeah, the difference would be if I have an asteroid mining operation and dump an asteroid full of gold on the Earth stock market.
We're getting away from what I was trying to get to the audience. So these miners that we're talking about is just a big room of computers without video screens, and they're just computing.
And they're just transacting, verifying the transactions.
And the majority is in China.
How would they compare to the computing power of one of those big miners to like a Citibank data center?
Well, they would probably be consuming more power than one individual bank at this point, just because there's a competition going on. You earn money by mining, by verifying transactions, and the way it's set up is that every miner is set against every other miner to compete.
How much electricity would it use if that's such a significant cost for a computer?
I actually don't have the numbers right now, but it's quite substantial. So you can't.
Are they independently electrified?
Yeah, they're all independent installations.
I mean, they're not relying on the country they're in?
No. You could set up, if you decided tomorrow to set up your own mining operation and you have the capital to do so and buy the computing equipment, you can do this. You can do it from anywhere.
We keep talking about the audience out there, and I haven't given out the new phone numbers. The people that have listened to this station for the last 50 years know the certain number. Actually, probably only since the 1970s, because I was looking at some old Facebook posts, and Bradenton still had like four and five digit numbers in the 60s, which I didn't know that. But anyway, if you'd like to participate in this and ask a question, you can call 888-761-1490. That's 888-761-1490. That should be your primary line. 888-761-1490. Backup 941-761-8703. 941-761-8703. And we'll try and sort through some of this for you. Okay, so we know what a miner looks like. You were talking about what the miners had come to an agreement or consensus.
Right, they came to an agreement that it's a compromise, basically. The latest version that everybody agreed on will have two different factions of how to move forward and scale Bitcoin. Each of them had a different version, of different idea of how to accomplish a higher throughput of transactions per second. And they reached an agreement a couple of months ago and created the latest version of Bitcoin. On Thursday, we saw the signaling. 80% of all miners agreed to this new version. And then as soon as we saw the signaling, the price of Bitcoin went crazy. And I think it's just everybody had parked their money to the side, and they just put it back in where it was.
What about
before.
The 20% that didn't agree? What happens to them?
It's right now, I think we're at 93%, right? So what will happen to them, if let's say we have a miner who doesn't agree at all and they run their own version, they basically will create a public ledger that's way, way smaller. And by default, the way Bitcoin works is the software will always follow the longest, the biggest chain, if you will, of transactions.
The greatest stability.
Yeah, it's a consensus, really, a nice consensus approach. So it's a mathematical or a software-based democracy.
Because right now there's a transactional cost for if somebody wants to buy something, there's a transactional cost, right?
Right.
Is this going to make the transactional cost for using a Bitcoin?
Yes. Yeah, because the transactional cost is based on the ease of throughput of transactions, right? So the easier it is for transactions to just go through, the less the cost will be.
I've seen costs though that seem much more than my debit card costs a local merchant.
$3. We had some kind of spamming going on. The blockchain was full. Like every 10 minutes, we have one block, means a bundle of transactions that get processed. and each of these blocks were just full. And so if you wanted to get your transaction in, there was kind of an auction process where everybody was basically paying.
Who runs the auction?
It's all automated. It's all the clients themselves. So if you wanted your transaction to go through in the next 10 minutes, you just had to raise your transactional fee.
You just pay more money.
Pay more money to get it through.
To get it through. But, of course, there's alternative current.
Not an extortion.
No, the interesting thing, really, I like to emphasize this. This is more like you have hundreds of cryptocurrencies that are all competing, like private money that is trying to woo their users by more features and
it's a service.
Yes, yeah, it's quite fascinating. So you don't have to stay with
Bitcoin. You're auctioning the service and the amount of the service and the cost of the service.
No, you're paying for a service. You pay more, it gets faster.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Right. So, but it sounds to me like the current transactional cost for using Bitcoin makes it prohibitive for most retail product.
Well, it wasn't. If you think of the history, for the most part of Bitcoin's history, it was just pennies, if at all, right? And I think we're going to go back there as soon as the scaling is resolved.
So you think the scaling can actually do that?
Oh, yes, definitely. Definitely. It's going to be automatic.
I want a cryptocurrency. You know, I don't want to take too very much time on this at all. Something called IOTA claims it has no cost.
Yes, that's correct. IOTA is a new form of cryptocurrency. And this is really what I like, where you have all these different ideas competing for acceptance. And in IOTA's version, every transaction verifies other transactions. So the network will become faster and more powerful the more people use it. It's actually quite an astonishing
idea. So we may find where Bitcoin gets great acceptance, like a VCR, and next thing you know, somebody creates a DVD, and Bitcoin loses its value.
We see something like this. Ethereum kind of was coming and catching up with Bitcoin, has new features, has different ideas behind it. But, of course, nobody stops Bitcoin from adopting features.
Watching the clock and knowing the other topics you want to get, I think we need to say that we need a review of the other digital currencies on a future show.
Definitely.
Yeah. Things quite exciting. Some are better than others.
My question comes to why would a community tie up a certificate of deposit because it's backed by the dollar, not backed by gold.
Mm-hmm.
Why would they back their investment in infrastructure within a municipal fund or whatever in Bitcoin? Why might they?
Well, the interesting thing is if the U.S. government would decide tomorrow that the $100 bill is not worth anything anymore, what would happen to the $100 bill tomorrow? We've seen something like this in India and in Venezuela, right? So I think there's a consensus.
Well, Venezuela is not a fair comparison.
No, let's say India.
India is a better one.
India is a bit of a better one, definitely. And
well, that leads us into the next topic, too, and with a lot of people asking to show me the money.
Make a quarter every time. Hold them in your hands as quick as a bunny. When I see the coin, you show me the money. A penny, as quick as a bunny. Show me.